Randy, we'll get you at the end for Father's Day, okay? We'll bring you back in here to represent all of our dads. April, they're welcome to go back. Yeah, they're welcome to go back. Randy's got patience of a saint. She's running out of church, them kids. Spirit done hit April. Hallelujah. Luke 15. I know I do this message quite a bit on Father's Day. It's just so fitting as we talk about fathers today. We're talking about in my Father's house. As we know, we are living in a very different time right now. There's a lot of unsettledness. There is a spirit of heaviness in the land. There's a spirit of anger in the land. There's a spirit of fear in the land. There's a spirit of frustration in the land. Things have just changed completely, from going to a restaurant to not going to a ball game to if school's going to start back or not. All the things that are happening around us that are so different than anything we've seen. I can't believe it seems like we've been going through this for 2 years, don't it? It's been just a couple months. It's amazing how it just seems so long. And, you know, as we know, as a song says, this is not our home, right? This is not where I belong. This is not our home. So we know we have something better to come. And so we're going to talk this morning about in my Father's house. And maybe you're in a place this morning to where you are in need of something that you can't get anywhere else. You've tried it in the world. You've tried it through alcohol. You've tried it through drugs. You've tried it through sex. You've tried it through partying. You've tried it through buying a new car, buying a new house, changing jobs. You've tried to fulfill your needs in some way to find true joy. All true joy cannot be found in this kingdom. True joy is found in God's house. True peace is found in God's house. True satisfaction is found in God's house. When we are hungry, we seek God. He will fill us. When we are thirsty, He will quench us. It is in God's house we find all that we need. It is amazing that in a very broken world, that God's people are not broken. In a very broken world, our God is not broken. Our God is the same. People say, where is God? He's where He's always been. Why are these things happening? It's all part of God's plan. We don't always understand that, but I do trust that. And I'm trusting and keep my eyes upon the one who was, who is, and who always will be. Governments shall rise and fall. Seasons shall come and go. Things will happen now and disappear later. But the one thing that remains is that Jesus is Lord, always and forever. He forever reigns, we just sung. He forever reigns. So we're going to talk about, Jesus gives a great parable here to illustrate His great love for us. In this parable of this prodigal son, of this young man who decided he would be better off doing it his way. Most of us have done that. We've been that route, right? Doing it on his terms, thinking that's what would bring joy to his life. But we find out that that's not true. I've got a quote I'm going to read, which is on the same card my jokes were on. I have no idea where that went. I'm so sorry. But Mark Twain quoted, I can't quote exactly because it's not in front of me, but paraphrasing, Mark Twain said that when I was a 14-year-old boy, I thought my old man was the most ignorant person in the world. But when I turned 21, I'm amazed how smart he got in 7 years. Now, think about this. We all know what that means, right? 14 years old, Dad don't know nothing. Oh, you don't know. You're not part of this generation, Dad. I know. Pot ain't bad. Drinking ain't bad. This ain't bad. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, just, I know what I'm doing, Dad. The term we hear the most from our kids is two words, right? I know. I know. I know. Heard it from Ashley my whole life. Heard it from Jane my whole life. I know. And I get so mad. Well, if you know, why ain't you doing it? If you know so much, why ain't you doing it? Because you don't know. The reason they say I don't know, it's a reaction of rebellion. What they're really saying is, talk to the hand. But they don't want to say that because they get body slammed. So they just say, I know. What they're really saying is, I don't want to hear what you got to say. I'll figure it out. I even had my kids tell me, look, I need to make my own mistakes and go down this road for myself. Okay. That makes perfect sense. If I'm in the highway out there and Tommy's out there with me and I'm changing the sign and I get out in the road and a semi truck's coming, I don't want Tommy saying, "Well, he got to figure out his own mistakes." I'd be dead like a pancake. I want somebody saying, "Hey, fool, get out of the road before you die." As parents, we try to instruct our kids because we want them to avoid those things which lead to destruction. And sometimes they listen, and sometimes they don't. But how foolish to say, "Let me make my own mistakes so I can learn." Why? When you have teachers that can help you learn. Here is a prodigal son who told his dad he wanted to do it his way. So let's get into this. Luke 15, we're going to start with verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." So he got his inheritance before his father died. I want what I got coming now. That's a whole revelation there, right? We want God to move now. Maybe it's not time for your now moment, and God knows that. Maybe it's not time for your inheritance right now. And God knows that. He knows you're not in the position to exercise it wisely. He knows you may blow it because you don't have the right knowledge to know how to use what he's going to give you. So it's not your time. It's not your season. Here this son got what he wanted. And of course he went haywire. I mean, think about, you know, you give your 18-year-old, you know, $5,000. It probably will be gone by 3 o'clock. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. How many of you have been on a journey in your life in a far country? Oh. You've been in places you wish you hadn't have walked in. You've been in places you wish you could redo and erase and go back in time, but you went there. You went on a journey, your own journey, into a place trying to find what made you happy, trying to find the greatness of life, trying to find peace for your soul. And we see the same pattern over and over with history. We see that pattern of young men and women, and even older men and women, that never get on the right path, living their lives with destruction. In the funeral business, I see a lot of lives come and go. I see a lot of young people that we have to bury. And I see and talk to families about their lives and the tragedy of their lives and how many of those died 40, 50, 60, still bound to drug addiction, alcoholism, could not ever break the hump, and they die in that condition. They were on this journey and couldn't get off that path. They were on this journey and never realized that it's in the Father's house is where they needed to be. That on this journey is not really their life. On this journey, they won't find what they need. It's in my Father's house that I have to have hope. It's in my Father's house that I have breakthrough. In my Father's house, I have satisfaction. In my Father's house, my hunger is filled. I say this often, every human being, I said this a few weeks ago, and I really believe this. And let me say this first. I saw a sign, Mom shared it with me on Facebook, and I saw it on Facebook as well, where a guy was holding a sign saying something about kill Jesus. They did it one time, let's something about kill him again, or something like that. Well, you know, when I saw stuff like that, it used to make me so mad. I'd get angry. God has changed my heart on that. I'm not angry no more. You know why? These people are lost. Church, they're lost. Let's not be angry. They're lost. And the devil has them blinded of being able to see truth. And I had compassion on this man. I texted my mom back. I said, that sign he's holding, that same Jesus he wants to kill, died for him. Died for him. I used to get angry with stuff like that, but you know what? I'm not angry. I've got compassion, realizing, God, their eyes haven't been opened to see all that you have waiting on them. If they would just lay down their sign and cross the line and say, Lord, here I am. I don't know all the answers, but I need some. I said this a few weeks ago. I really don't believe there is any person ever born that is a true atheist. I don't believe that. Because I think every human being born from a child, when they get old enough to understand things, begin to search and long and seek out and have something inside of them that they know there's something more than this. And what happens? They push it away through the years of their living. They push it away through rebellion. But inside, they know. I mean, why do people go find someone smarter than them to talk to? They, you know, people go to a Catholic priest. They'll climb a mountain and talk to someone in India. They'll Google stuff. They'll go through Scientology. They'll go through creativism, spiritualism, naturalism. You know, they'll go out in the woods with no clothes on, sitting there doing yoga. They're trying to find something. They're trying to find something because they know there's something more than this. In many martial art classes, many martial art teachings, some of that is satanic. And the things that they say out and they chant are actually satanic chants to invoke darkness. That's a fact. Because even the martial arts, they're searching for something more than themselves. There's a higher rim to go into where you don't feel pain. Hit me in the stomach. Remember the old anagram for Barney? I'm tough. Hit me in the gut. No, I'm good. He tightens his stomach up, you know, and he gets hit. He walks away. Opie hits him. Remember, he walks away, and he goes in the back room. Yeah. We train ourselves to try to find, you know why? Because we were created for eternity. We weren't created to just live 60 or 80 or 90 or 100 years. We were created to live forever. That's why that forever gene is in us, to crave something more than this. And here is this son who's on this journey, and he's in a faraway place. He's away from home. He's out of father's house. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He was living for himself, wasting everything his dad had given him, blowing it on stupid stuff that brought no value to his life. Here he had an inheritance that would have secured him for all of his days. Now he's blowing everything in his journey, trying to find satisfaction, thinking, I'm tired of being in my father's house. I'm going to go out of my father's house, and I'm going to do it my way. We all know the Burger King way is not the right way for a Christian to live. Right? We know it's not the right way. Don't be a Burger King Christian. Because God, you know, the thing I'm gaining a lot in Bill's class about the fasting is even more than just the fasting. It's the things that surround it. About understanding, God, I want your will to be done in my life. It's about surrendering to the will of God. It's like the old guy that was rock climbing, him and his buddy, right? Not him as much as one guy. Never mind. There's one guy climbing a cliff, right? And he's slipping. And he's hanging on by a thread. And he yells up there, says, God, if you're really there, if you're really real, please save me. And God speaks and says, just let go. And the guy says, is there anybody else up there? We don't want to hear God's voice. Because it tells us things to do that we don't always want to do. God sometimes will speak things that make us uncomfortable, as Bill said in class. But the point is, we need to be uncomfortable sometimes to be where God wants us to be. And we got to muddy through that sometimes. Joseph didn't like being in prison for 2 years. He was in a prison cell for 2 years, and he was an innocent man. He didn't like being there, but God had a purpose. And one day, God called him out of his cell and promoted him because God had a plan. He was in jail because of God's plan, not because of Potiphar's plan, because of God's plan. Here's this young man. He's living his life, wasting it, just being stupid. And look at verse 14. When he had spent all, do you ever feel like you have spent all? There's nothing else to spend. I'm done. How many times have we used that expression, I'm done? Melanie's used it. I've used it. Ashley uses it all the time. We try to talk to her. I'm done. Walks out of the room, I'm done. We say that because we're exhausted and we're tired of fighting and we're tired of struggling and we're tired of being in lack and we're tired of being in want and we're tired of the repeated cycle over and over, the cycle of defeat, the cycle of bondage, whatever the cycle we're going, we're tired of it. And here's this young man, he had spent his inheritance, he had spent all, he has nothing left, he's in a faraway country, he's not happy, he's not satisfied, he's in need. Now, after he spent all, it says there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. God, here's what happens with God. We cannot really find what we need until we become in want of what God has. I'm going to be honest with you. Something that the last few months, something that's kind of challenged me a little bit with all the sports kind of being canceled. I'm kind of over it. I'm just over. And I'm a sports guy. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I just might be over it. When it comes back, I might not even watch it. I don't know. Because you know what? I've lived with it without no sports. And we've made it. We've made it without baseball. Praise the Lord. We've made it without the NBA. Praise Jesus. We've made it. You start realizing what's really important in life. And as we're going through all this stuff, you know what's important? Number one, staying alive. Right? Staying healthy. Number two probably is keeping your job. Happy to work. If you are working and you're complaining, don't talk to me. Talk to him. I don't want to hear you whining. Oh, I wish somebody else had to. Thank God you're working. There are people that aren't working that have lost their job. There are businesses that have closed down. There are people on part-time or half-time that aren't making what they were. Thank God he is your provider, 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 provider. Thank God he is that in you. I'm thankful to be working. I'm thankful God has blessed me. I'm thankful that God has taken people home. Sorry, Tom. I'm thankful that I'm thankful that God is making a way. And we've learned what's really important. What I've learned through this is what's important really isn't found in this house. It's found in the Father's house. Right? We've learned. Me and Mel are the restaurant eaters, and we had to go for a couple of months without eating one. And that bothered me, but we survived and we made it. We whined like babies and we complained and we grumbled because I'm a guy and I don't like sitting in my car trying to eat a T-bone steak and baked potato on a foam tray sitting in the front seat, the plastic fork is breaking off. Pouring down rain, turning windshield wipers on, fogging up, drink here, too tight, two people in the front seat. I didn't like that. Mel was like, you're just whining. Look, I'm a guy, okay? I'm not this little petite Sierra. It takes up 3 inches. I need space, man. Fork in hand. I need space. I was tired of living in a van down by the river. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Only a few of y'all got that, but well, what a funny skit. Y'all got to see that skit. It's so funny. All right, let's move on. I've learned that what's in Father's house is what counts. He began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him to the fields to feed swine. Now, this might not sound like a big deal. You've got to understand, this is Jesus, who was a Jew, giving a parable that another Jew was feeding pigs. This is a big no-no. I mean, that was considered completely unclean, unholy. It's the worst job he could have as a Jew was to be associated with pigs. Because that was against every Levitical law, every Old Testament law, everything, every covenant. You shall not touch pork. It's unclean. It's nasty. Don't touch it. He's really low. Spent all he had. He's hungry. Now he's feeding pigs. You see what's happening? He's going on decline, right? He's spiraling downward. And our lives have done that. Some of our lives have done that. We went through cycles of spiraling down. You're like, how much lower can I go? And then boom, this happens. Are you serious? Okay, my car breaks down. Okay, my air broke down. Okay, my kid broke down. Okay, I mean, how low can you go? Poor Tommy back here, man. See, hold your cast up, Tommy. Bless his little heart. He about sawed his thumb off a couple weeks ago. And that was, what, a year, or about less than a year earlier, you about sawed your finger off on a different hand? Same hand. So within a year, he's about sawed two. Don't let him have a saw. Okay. Bless his heart. Sometimes our life just spirals. Sometimes things happen. And we've all been in those cycles where one thing after another. And if we're not careful, right, we start moaning and whining and getting our eyes off God, realizing, God, it's okay, I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to praise you in the storm, no matter what. I'm going to praise you. He's feeding the pigs. And he said that he would have feigned to feel, he desired to fill his belly with the husk the swine did eat, but no man gave him none. Couldn't even get a bone. Throw me a bone, man. I mean, he couldn't even get food the pigs were eating. He's in a low, low place. Some of us have been there. Maybe you're there today. You're just in a low place, and you need something more than where you're at. In my Father's house, there is plenty. I promise you. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, when he realized where he was, here's something we have to recognize. The devil is great at keeping us in rebellious state, right? Denying our problems, denying what's happening, denying our weaknesses. And he wants us to make excuses why we're in that place. We love justifying why we're doing what we're doing. You know, well, Lord, if you're married to who I was married to, you drink too. Right? We justify it, right? Or, you know, I do all these drugs because I got a little pain in my little pinky toe every now and then. It throbs one time a year, so I take medicine. Okay? Whatever we justify, right, to keep ourselves bound, we can make excuses or we can be like this guy and say, hang on, what am I doing? I had a father. I had everything I needed, everything provided, plenty of food, plenty of shelter. All my needs were met, and I'm out here with no money, feeding the pigs, starving. What am I doing? I think he must have looked in the mirror somewhere and seen his face and said, this is not who you are. This is not what you're about. This is not what I called you to be. He came to himself. He realized, this isn't right. I've got to do something. So he says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will arise. This is an action, right? A verb indicating he had to do something. He couldn't stay where he was. He couldn't just keep laying there hoping something would happen. Sometimes we live our lives just hoping something will happen. No, it's up to you to arise. It's up to you to stand up. It's up to you to raise up and say, God, here I am. I call upon your name. No excuses. I'm sorry for all I've been and all I've done. Is there room for me in Father's house? Do you have what I need in your house? Am I worthy, God, to have a crumb of bread or a morsel of drink? Am I worthy, God? I know you've got it. Will you let me have some? We have to arise. We have to stand up. And we have to come to Father's house and say, God, I believe you have what I need. And he does. John 14 tells us that. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. We know we have this place with God as Christians. We have this place. So after he said this, he said, I will rise, I will say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. He's rehearsing his speech, what he's going to say, but before he gets there, he's getting all together. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose. He did what he said. He came to his father. Now here's where we get the love of our father. He arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. His father saw him, and he took a belt and beat him half to death. That's how we paint God, right? We paint God that way so many times. God's mad. God's angry. God's got one of them, you know, the old corny guys go around with a little button in their hand, shake their hand, it shocks them. Yeah, they think that's funny. That ain't funny. That's just stupid. Any of y'all got one? Tommy, you got one of those? Okay, so if anybody had one, be Tommy. So we picture God being that way, right? Oh yeah, Gordon, I love you. Come on up here. That's not God. God's not out to zap you or get you. He's not angry with you. John 3:17 says, "For God's or John 3, he came." John 3:17 says, "He came to the world not to condemn the world, not to condemn, not not." He came to this world, Jesus did, not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. We serve a saving God. We serve a redeeming God. And here is this father, when he saw his son. Now we've all, most of us in here are parents, or have raised some kids, or you're a grandparent. And we know our kids can make us so mad sometimes we can spit nails. We want to wring their necks until there's no breath in their body. We want to unscrew their head and pour what we want to in there, right? They can make us so mad. You don't think that our actions sometimes, God's like, really? Wow. But here's the difference. There's not a belt waiting on us when we approach God. There's not a timeout corner waiting on us. There's not a one, two, three. There have been so many times in a store when I've heard a mother say that, I just say three when she says one. I want to say it. Now, Johnny, one, I so want, three! That's what I want. So many times I want to say that. I mean, we give our kids a warning that we're going to beat them. One, two and a half, Johnny. And then when they hit three, they still don't do anything. And wonder why they don't listen. I know what you're thinking. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe in that old whooping. It gives you mental damage. Well, I got whooped, and look at me. Let's move right along. Maybe I've answered my own question. Okay. I seen a thing on Facebook. I think maybe Ralph shared it. Somebody shared on Facebook talking about a kid never known the sound of a big wide belt slipping through a bunch of jean loops. Oh, yeah, what a sound. Oh, I heard that sound. Mom used a yardstick on me one time. She grabbed a yardstick. She hit me one time across the hind end, it broke in half. She started laughing, the whooping was over. Hallelujah. God moved in a mysterious way. She started laughing. She was so mad at me, got that yardstick, bend over, poof, cracked right in half. Thank you, Ashley. Oh, me. I will arise, tell him I've sinned. No more word of a servant. He arose, came to his father. But when he was yet a far way, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father ran to his son and loved him in the condition he was in. He met him where he was at. He didn't ridicule him. He didn't give him the old father speech that we've all said before, right, dads? Laid, you made your bed, you got a line. You reap what you sow. And all those lines of dads we use. Oh, you want my help now? I tried to help you yesterday, but no, now you want it? I told you, son. We say that. I've said that my whole life. I've told you, son. I'm trying to tell you, son. God didn't do any of that. God was just happy his son was back home. He was happy his son was off this far journey, off this road of destruction, and was coming back home to be restored, coming back home for help, coming back home for hope, coming back home for healing. He ran to where he was at. This is Jesus telling the story, which tells us that Jesus is waiting on us with open arms, waiting on us to come to Father's house and get what we need from him. Don't get in your mind. We've heard this beat into us. A lot of us religious folks have heard this beat into our whole life. That, you know, that we're in this because we deserve this because of this and this. And we're living this life because of this and this. And we're giving the devil so much credit and so much power of our lives. Instead of letting Jesus rescue us. No, Lord, I know you're waiting on me. God, you're not mad at me. I'm not going through this because you're mad at me, God. People say that. Well, I must be going through this sickness because I didn't do enough for God. No, God didn't do that. God's not punishing you because you failed. My Lord, church, if we didn't fail, we wouldn't have needed a Redeemer. If we didn't fail, we wouldn't need a Savior. If we wouldn't fail, the blood means nothing. We do fail over and over again. And this is why Jesus came. He knew we could not keep everything. We could not walk by the law, because even if we physically didn't break the law, we were mentally breaking the law. Because he talked about that. He says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. If you look at a woman the wrong way, you're an adulterer. I think we are all in here murderers and adulterers and fornicators and liars and cheaters. But by the grace of Jesus Christ and him alone, this Father said, you are forgiven and redeemed forevermore. That's what we find in Father's house. In this Father's house. This son. Can you imagine how nervous he was as he rehearsed this speech? Probably thinking, I just hope Dad will let me back in the house. I'll sleep in the barn. I'll sleep in the shed. I'll sleep with the servants' quarters. Whatever. I just want to be back at home. If Dad will just, at least I can eat and have shelter and quit feeding the pigs and quit breaking the law, my covenant spiritual law, if I can just get back home. And I imagined he was so nervous, and as the father ran to him, what was going through his mind? Oh, Lord, he's running toward me. Is he upset? Is he going to do the clothesline? Well, he's running, so what's he going to do? He ran, and he fell on his neck, and he loved him. And the son said to him, verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in your sight am I no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and let us be merry. They were going to party like it was 1999. Yes, sir. How many of us who want to throw a party when our rebellious son took the inheritance you left him, blew it on booze and women, blew it living whatever he wanted, just wasted it, feeding the pigs, going hungry, bringing a bad reputation upon his family, upon his family's name? Who would want to give someone a party for that? This father does. Because my son, it says in the next verse, here's why he gives a party. It says in verse 24, for my son was dead, he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And they began to be merry. What words of comfort the son must have felt when the father says, it's all well. I'm glad you're home. You're back. That's all that matters. You're back. You are dead. Now you're alive. You are lost. Now you're found. It's all that matters. This is the father that we serve today. And in his house, he has what you need. We are in a very struggling time right now that we must keep our spiritual lives nourished. You know, I've been very blessed, and y'all have been very wonderful as a body of people and believers to keep things going at Living Word through all of this. You have been great. There are many churches that are still not open the doors. They're still closed down. And I appreciate the ones that are coming and the ones that are supporting, the ones that are saying, you know what, we're going to move forward. We're in God's kingdom, and we're trusting that. I'm thankful for people of faith that'll say, you know what? I trust God more than I trust this. I trust God more than I trust that. In the world of turmoil we are in, we need nothing. We need the Father's love like nothing else. We've got to be careful. I told Melanie yesterday, we was out, and I said, you know what? The devil wants to keep division. Because as long as the devil can have division, he has power. Church, he has power. We cannot allow ourselves as the body of Christ to be divided by what the world is doing or about the world is saying. We are on the same page that we are the people of God and that he died for all of our lives. His blood covers us all. We all have equal value in his sight. We all are his children, born by his breath. And that's all that matters to me. I can't control what someone else is doing. Remember the mirror, the series I've been doing on Wednesday, Mirror, Mirror. We finished it up. I passed a mirror around a couple of y'all. And what we want to do is to fix us, we want to turn the mirror and fix them. If I give Tommy a mirror, and I say, I want you to fix something. Look at that mirror. He would turn to April. There's the problem. That's the problem. No, it ain't. You're the problem. Huh? Yeah, don't turn it on April. April's got her issues. We all know that. That's playing. But Tommy's got his too, right, April? So what the mirror does is it signalizes who to work on, us. I can't control what's happening anywhere in the country, but I can control what's happening in my home. I can't control what's happening in my personal life. I control whether I speak to someone or whether I love someone. I control whether I help someone or walk away from someone. I control whether I cuss someone out or I lead them on their knees in a prayer. I control whether I smile, whether I frown, whether I'm nice, whether I go off like a bomb. I control that. And if each one of us would just do what we can control, we would see things change. Because I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what someone else is doing. I'm accountable to God. I'm, James, accountable to God and God alone. That's why in a marriage, we know this, there's times in a marriage that Melanie hasn't always agreed with my thinking, or maybe my decisions on things. I'm talking about more, you know, spiritual things or church issues. But like I tell her, I've got to listen to what God's telling me. I value your opinion. I'm not discounting it. But there's times I've got to listen just to what God is saying and drown out all voices. Say, God, I got to hear you right now. God, speak right now to me. I got to hear what you want to say. If I allow God to work on me, that will help change the things around me that I can control. We're going to stop here. It goes on, the other son got jealous, but that's not the important part. The important part of this parable is this son came home, and the most important part is God welcomed him with open arms, and God, the Father, did not make him a servant, that God restored him as a son. You're still a son. Best ring, best robe, shoes, calf, party. We're going to celebrate tonight. You're home. You're home, son. Let the Holy Spirit soften you on the inside that we do not get caught up in what is happening around us. I can't listen to all that and have any peace. We were talking to somebody yesterday. Me and I was at, we was at a restaurant. We got to talk to this couple beside us. And he was an older guy. And he goes, I turned off the, he said, I got some mad, I turned off the news. I got some mad, I turned off walking out of the house. I got some mad, I turned it off. We need to get mad and turn stuff off and turn God on. I want to turn God up and turn the world down. Let's crank God up and mute the world and say, God, because as Bill said in Sunday school, this is a time, if no time ever, that we need to hear God's voice, and the church needs to arise and be the church of this generation. We need to be a church that is a light, that others see that we love, we forgive, we help bring healing and hope to all those who are broken, no matter what they've been, what they've done, where they've come from. We are the body of Christ. Why aren't our hands healing? Why aren't our feet going? Why is our mouth not speaking? We are the body of Christ. One body, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit. We are the body of Christ. We cannot allow division among the body of Christ. There's too much division among the world. And we all have our opinions. We all have our sides. I understand that. But the side we all should be on is the side of God. And here is this son who has come home and no longer feeding the pigs. And is no longer destitute and bankrupt, but has been restored. Thank God for his redeeming grace. Thank God for his redeeming power. Thank God that he doesn't see us like we see each other. He sees us as his children. You know how if you got more than one child, you love all of them equally but differently, right? You love them differently but equally. It's really weird. If you only have one child, that's hard to fathom. But if you got more than one child, all three of my children are very different. And I love them all equally. And I might like some more than the other. But I love them all equally. Ashley shared a picture of me on Facebook the other day. She sent it to me. It's a coffee mug. And it had on there, Happy Father's Day. What is it? I know I'm your favorite. Or something like that. I know I'm your favorite. Oh, yeah. You don't have to tell me I'm your favorite. And she sent me that with a little laughy face. But I love all my kids equally. If I got my three kids lined up here and somebody says I got to take one as hostage, I can't pick that. I love them all. Take me hostage. No, take Tommy hostage. You got one. April will be all right. I can't pick my kids, but we pick at each other. I don't like the word. We'll close out here. I got to do a Father's Day stuff. I don't like the word essential. That's been that has brought more division than anything else. Are you essential? Are you serious? Yeah, I'm essential. I'm a child of God. I'm essential. We've labeled essential businesses, essential, you know, things. Is a church essential? Is the restaurant essential? Is Staples essential? Is Walmart essential? Is the gas station essential? Is, you know, the veterinarian? No, we're all essential. All of us. We're here, so we're essential. And it's brought a lot of division among people because of that expression. We are essential. We are important to God because he created us. There ain't none of you here by accident. I don't care what you said. I don't care what your mama told you. You ain't here by no accident. Because your mama, though she gave you the life physically, God gave you the life soul and spirit. So it's still God that did it. We want to honor our dad today. Have you had anybody else in there we need to? On Facebook? All right, guys, if you're watching on Facebook and you are a dad and you're not with us, please log on there. Hey, I'm a dad. We'll add your name real quick for our drawing as we recognize our fathers today. And Melanie is going to do a special song for you guys. I did not. I did. Yep. Okay. Throw them in there. All righty. Melanie's going to do this song. She does this kind of a traditional song, and then I'm going to recognize all the dads. Ralph, can you get Mr. Randy back here and tell him to come on in here? Ms. Melanie does this song, and I don't know if she wants to introduce it or say anything about the song. Wait till Randy gets in here before we sing it, though.
Well, y'all know I have two amazing dads, and so this song, for me personally, reminds me of one of them in some parts, reminds me of the other one in other parts, and at times reminds me of both of them. So I think there's nothing like your daddy's hands, especially when you're a daughter. Okay, boys need their daddy too, but, you know, there's just something about the love of a father and a daughter. So I'm waiting for Randy. Happy Father's Day to you all. Whether you may not have natural children, like you're physically your own natural children, but I can tell you what, my stepdad was my universe. So if you raised a child in any fashion in a father's role, you need to commend yourself for taking on that role, because you're choosing that role.
Let's have, while Melanie sings, let's do something. If y'all are comfortable, we don't have a lot of people. I think we can spread out okay. With the dads mind coming up here, just spacing out up here. Start on this end, kind of just space across here so we can recognize the dads. So if you're a dad, come on up here and stand. Space out a little bit, just stand.
You can come up here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we can bring you on stage, too. Have a little more room if you want to.
Happy First Father's Day to David Lee. Woohoo!
Some of y'all step up here on the stage, too, so we have a little more room. Bill, come on up here, brother. Tony, come on up here if you want to. David, come on up here.
Yeah, I'll put that down low so it won't be ugly.
Rodney, come on up here. Step up here. Trying to get y'all spaced out a little bit. All right, is this all the dads? Now, I'm not going to do that. I made a mistake a few years ago. I'm not doing it since. I won't say who it is, Doc. But I went across here one day, and I asked all the fathers how many kids they had, because mothers would do that, you know, mother most kids. I said, how many kids you got? I got to Doc, and he says, 3, I think. So I said, okay, 5, I think. And so I said, okay, we won't do that no more, Dad. So I give him a hard time. That was so funny, Doc. You cracked me up that Sunday. That was so funny. But we have our dads up here. We have a very new dad up here, don't we?
Yeah.
Mr. David Lee, brand new baby, brand new dad. First Father's Day. How old are you, David?
31.
So you're probably the youngest dad up here, I would say, by far.
By far.
Sorry, guys.
By far, he said.
31. The oldest dad would be probably, is it Roger? I guess it probably, you're close, aren't you? You're 1 year younger? Okay. So Roger's the oldest. Hey, Roger. David's the youngest. You can tell that by looking at him.
Who's the most handsome?
And I'm kind of the middle of them two, actually. I'm about the age. I'm kind of in the close. We're close to the middle of that, ain't we? We're a little still on David's side. We are. We're still a little toward David's end, but we're toward in the middle. But these are our beautiful dads. Y'all, if you can, Tony, if you can't stand up, you can sit in that chair if you need to. But go ahead and sing your song, Melanie. This is to all the dads out here.
I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer. reaching out to touch me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in those calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight and patted my back from things done right. There are things I've forgotten that I loved about that man, but I always will remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands, soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I come to understand. There was always love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working hard until they bled, sacrificed and selfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over and live my life again, I'd never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands, soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I come to understand. There was always love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands, soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I come to understand. There was always love in my daddy's hands.
All right, we got Tommy, why are you back here? Oh. Are you? Oh, he watched the door.
He can pull a trigger.
Trust me. All right, we got three drawings we're going to do for $20 a piece Home Depot gift cards for the dads, okay? Swing by and get you something manly. If you don't have to use it, at least get it and put it in your garage, you look manly. That's what I do. All right. Let's get
we'll put all of our regular
Maverick, come up here. No, not you, Maverick. I'm sorry. Sorry, Matt. Draw out one ticket. Who have you got? Nate Henderson, who is not here today. If you're watching, Liz,
we'll take
Nate had to go on a truck trip today, so he couldn't be here. But Nate Henderson got the first gift card. Congratulations! That's our other drummer, Mr. Nate. All right, let's get Hudson, come up here. Thank you. Mr. Ralph Combs has won the other gift card. Yay. There you go, Ralph. Congratulations. Maddie, come up here, darling. Tim Dillard, which is Sky's dad, Tim Dillard. He's not here today, but Tim Dillard gets the other gift card. So congratulations to Mr. Tim Dillard. We have one more thing I want to recognize. If Mr. Randy come over here for a second, just stand in the front. You may not have saw my video I made last night. The sound was kind of distorted. Sorry about that. But I get a call about 4 o'clock yesterday from Alarm South that we have 2 smoke detectors going off. Fire trucks have been dispatched. Me and Melanie's about an hour away from home, and so I call Randy and say, are you in town? He goes, yes. I said, can you run by the church on what's happened? He says, we'll go by. Well, him and Donna and his son Thomas came by the church, and when he pulled up, he saw some smoke coming out of the attic. And during a storm yesterday, through a power surge or something, our air handler wires melted in the attic and was smoldering. And the fire department responded and took care of everything. Mr. Randy and Donna and Thomas, they spent, I know, 2 or 3 hours over here yesterday evening while I was out of town, opening windows, opening doors, meeting with the fire department, spraying Febreze throughout the church. It was very, very smoky smelling. When I got back in town last night, I came over, and it was still smelled pretty smoky. But he did an incredible job of just helping save our building, and I really mean that. And so for Mr. Rand and his family, we've got a $50 Outback card for you. Here you go, Randy. Take your family out to dinner. And we appreciate you so much. Randy is a very selfless servant, and I can always count on him, always, and I truly mean that. He's incredible, him and his family, and during this time, their power in their own house was out as well, and Don's bought a bunch of food for a celebration they were doing, and their power went out, so Randy's getting a generator at their house hooked up, come over here handling this, and I just appreciate him so much. It could have been a very different situation today. If Randy hadn't responded and go over here, and the fire department go over here and got things under control. So I just want to give him a special thanks for that. He's incredible. And want to thank all of our dads. Any of you dads got anything you want to say today before we dismiss you guys? Just for fun, I'm serious. You got 5 kids? How many kids you got? 5? 4. See, you don't know. Doc with a man back for Jesus. Anybody got more than 4 kids up here? Any dad got more than 4? So, Doc, you the granddaddy. Whoopee. Congratulations. Give our dads a happy hand clap. Happy Father's Day, guys. We love you all. I need 2 of y'all ushers stay up here for me. 2 of the ushers stay up here. And musicians, come on up here. Let's play a good offering song. So we do that this morning. Come on up, Gordon. Father, we thank you for this beautiful service and this message and your word. I pray that the hearts here will hear the message. Whenever they're seeking, God, they'll come to your house to find it. They can't find it in the world. They can't find it out there. But they can find what they need in you. You are all. You are everything. And I pray that hearts will seek you today. Hearts will find you again. That they may be lost or may feel dead, but that, God, you will breathe new life into them. Bless this body and bless your people and fill their hearts with all of you today. And bless this offering, God, as we give unto you. We thank you that we have a seed to sow today, and we're just going to use for your kingdom. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's
Oh, I'm sorry. I was enjoying it. Okay. Guess he's done. I'm done. Well, guys, once again, happy Father's Day. And so thankful that you are here today. And for you watching by Facebook, we love you. We know it's a different time. Thank you for still watching the service and being with us. And hopefully the coming months we'll be back together again and get all of our family back in the building. But we love you very much. Let's stand at our feet. We'll close out in prayer this morning. Lord, we ask for protective mercy and grace as we go our separate ways. And just keep your hand upon us. We thank you, Lord, for being our Lord and Savior. Guide our steps this week and let us be the light to those around us in all of our deeds and our words. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.